Amen? I don't feel like we should move on just quite yet. Somebody tell me a promise of God. Say it, and I want to repeat it. What's a promise of God? He'll never leave us or forsake us. Tell me another one. What? He'll never flood the earth again. Come on, rainbow. That's our rainbow. Okay. All right. Eternal life. Everlasting life. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He will always love you. Amen. What's that? You will walk and you will not grow weary, because when you are weak, he is strong. Amen. Anything else? Come on now. We got to encourage one another. By his stripes, you are healed. You have been healed. Come on now. If somebody needs a healing in today, just raise your hand. Right now, if you need a healing in your body, by the power and the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid that price and claimed that healing upon you right now. From the top of your head to the tippy top of your fingers to the soles of your feet, feel the anointing and the presence and the power of God and be healed by his stripes right now in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. 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 It says, I agree and I receive. Amen. 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 Come on, give me another promise before we move on. He's coming again. Come on now. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Woo! You will cast out demons. You will heal the sick. You will raise the dead. Hallelujah. The battle is his. We need to stand. Amen. And when you are still standing, what does God say? You keep standing. See, sometimes you're standing and then you get out of your own power and you're standing there. You're like, I got nothing left. And God says, stand, because now you're standing in his power. Amen? Come on now. Let's get a couple more. Building each other up. Yes, ma'am. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Come on now. All the Pentecostals say, hallelujah. Put your hand up like a Pentecost. Hallelujah. Come on now. I didn't see no hankies in here. You better get a hanky next week. Hallelujah. All right, two more. Amen to that. I said that this week. There is a place in heaven that our Father has prepared, and just at the right time, he's coming to get us, and he's going to take us back to the place that he's prepared in his Father's house for us. Amen. Amen. I love that. Okay, right there in the back. You just stole that, Brother Bob. I said in the back and you're in the front, brother. Come on now. Because you're looking all fly like that, you think you can say whatever you want. Just playing. What'd you say? I love Bob. Come on now. His word is forever. Settled? His word is settled forever. Amen. Come on now. What is done in my name is done. And we're going to, our guests, you get it. I saw your hand. Go ahead. Come on. God is not unjust. Hebrews 6. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Stir up your most holy faith. Come on. It's good. It's good to be in the house of God. You got to remind yourself of the promises of God. Amen. 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 And if you forget, call a neighbor. Call somebody. Call somebody in the house. Call a family member of the church and say, man, I need a promise from God today. I'm struggling. And then you just speak life. Prophesy to that situation, not as it is, but as it should be. Amen. Well, thank you, Tech and worship team. Appreciate you. If you don't know who I am, Pastor Harris, I'm the lead pastor. I'm not preaching today, even though I felt the Holy Ghost come upon me right there. And I just want to encourage the body this morning. Who's an ambassador of Christ? Okay, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're an ambassador. So go and speak on behalf of the Lord. Amen? October, here we are. Man, it's going to be nice today, though. It can stay like this for a while. That'd be fine with me. Well, the last couple months, we've had a powerful theme, and it was entrusted with the gospel. Anybody like that theme? That was good. That was a good series. Amen? I love it when God gives us a series, and we just hone in, and we go, God, what do you want? And we just go with it. And this morning, we're going to start a new series, and it's titled Living the Good Life. Here's the main focus about living that good life. It's how to live a generous life in a consumer culture. Come on. Seriously, Jesus gave everything. The least we can do is give him the rest of us. Amen? Just give it to him. Now, saying that, who better to kick off this series than a family that gives their entire life in a consumer culture? Who better than a missionary family? I'd say nobody, because I'm in charge, and that's what I say. Hallelujah. And I got the mic. Well, this family is coming this morning to speak to us. It's the Hunsaker family. They're a wonderful family ministering in Mexico, and they brought Mexican candy. And I was like, come on now, I love Mexican candy. Like, you're one of the few. And I was like, well, I grew up around a lot of Latinos, and they hooked me up at a young age. I got addicted then. Hallelujah. See, our first Open Bible family here, I don't know, many of you know it, but not all of you know it, that we've been supporting this great work for several years now. Travis and his wife, Heather, have served at Puente de Amistad as a full-time missionary since 2016, and they have served as the directors since 2019. They developed a love for missions and a burning passion for something deeper after Travis went to Peru and then Puente de Amistad missions base. Their family spent the summer of 2015 serving under the leadership of the missionaries Mike and Kathy Brandt. While they were in Mexico, they felt God leading and directing them into long-term missions. Here's a quote from them. It says this, quote, "It's a privilege to serve with the visiting missions team, not only to get to serve the people of the underprivileged here in Tijuana, we also get to partner with American churches in serving outside the boundaries of their country and oftentimes outside of their social economic comfort zones. We desire that teams break out of their comfort zones." Come on now, who wants to break out of their comfort zone? "To serve others. And as they return home, we pray that they take a closer look at their own lives and how they can take this experience with them to help serve and create a better community at home," end quote. Now it's my honor this morning to introduce the Hunsaker family. Will you give a hand to Travis and Heather as they come to share living the good life with us this morning?
Production, holy smokes. I told Pastor this morning when he walked in, I was like, I don't know if I'm walking into a football game or church. I mean, it's powerful in here. Praise God. Yeah, this is awesome. I am so pumped. I hope I can keep the enthusiasm going. Hope, say what? I just keep yelling. Well, praise God. Thank you for allowing us to come back and share. It has been a long time. 2016 was the last time we were here, 6 years ago. Praise God. He has done so many great things in the last 6 years. So this morning, I want to be clear. We're here to say thank you to God for all that he's done and say thank you to you for being a part of what he's done in Mexico. And the second thing is we wanted to share with you some of the awesome things he has done over the last 6 years. So to get us started, we're going to start off with my wife sharing about our family.
So as Pastor said, we are Travis and Heather Hunsaker. We also have two children with us. Can we get the slides going here? We have Wesley, that handsome, handsome, tall 10-year-old boy is our son, Wesley, and Maya, who is 9. It's hard to believe, but when we first moved to Tijuana, they were only 3 and 4. We started them at a Mexican private Christian school and as preschoolers. But since 2020, we have been on a homeschooling journey. I would say I'm an involuntary homeschooler, but God is giving me grace, and we are all learning together through this process. But most of all, we're really grateful for the opportunity to be able to raise our children on the mission field. They have a very unique worldview as a result of what we do. Our kids love jumping in. That tiny little picture up in the corner, that's still my son, grabbing a hammer, grabbing a drill, whatever. He's always ready to jump in and help with house builds.
We're going to go to the next slide. So, at Puente de Amistad, what is that we do? So, Puente de Amistad is Spanish for Bridge of Friendship. What we're doing is we're leading short-term missions teams to Mexico on a week basis, and we have teams all throughout the summer. They normally start in the beginning of February, and they won't stop until August or October. So we're leading teams all throughout the summer. Go to the next slide.
So what is our mission statement? So when Open Bible started their base down in Tijuana, they were praying because they thought they were going to start a church, but God specifically told them to come alongside the ministries, the Mexican ministries that are there, and help support them in whatever way possible. So our vision statement is Puente de Amistad's mission is to serve as a bridge of friendship between American and Mexican ministries by mobilizing, encouraging, and assisting those ministries and individuals to advance the kingdom of God in Tijuana. We just want to say we're so thankful for our staff. The gentleman in the middle right there is Marcial Morales. He has served at Puente de Amistad for over 20 years. And the lady next to him is Amalia Espinosa, who has also served for over 20 years. A lot of times people say, hey, you know, God called you to the mission field. He called you away from Iowa. Do you miss your family? And of course, the answer to that is yes, we absolutely miss our family. However, God has surrounded us by amazing staff who celebrate holidays and birthdays together with us, who are always there supporting us and loving on us, and we couldn't do it without them. So we do have a short little thank you video from them, since they can't travel. Some of them can't travel, some of them don't want to travel this far, but we have a short thank you video from them to the churches.
Hi, church. I am happy you come to here at Tijuana to help the families here for build a house. I hope you can invite other church come to help because a lot of people need help. Thank you for coming. God bless you.
Gracias, iglesias, por venir a bendecir a familias con un hogar y por venir a tener nuevas experiencias aquí con la gente de Tijuana. Dios los bendiga.
Thank you, churches, for coming to bless families in need with a home, and thank you for coming and bringing your congregants to have new experiences here in Tijuana. God bless you.
Good morning, Open Bible Church. My name is Fernando, and I love when you guys come down here and minister to the people of Tijuana, and it just makes me feel so happy that I could be part of that and join you and to minister and be part of this ministry, ministering to the people of Tijuana, you know, and I just like interacting with you guys and how you guys have a strategy to minister to the people of Tijuana. It just is beautiful. So I love it when you guys come down here.
Yo estoy muy agradecida con Open Bible porque es una iglesia que tiene unos ministerios fantásticos, los cuales se dedican a ayudar a la gente, a orfanatorios, ministerios, centros de rehabilitación, a toda la gente necesitada. Y yo sé que Dios les mandó una gran bendición a Puente de Amistad para que existiera Open Bible.
So I just want to thank Open Bible and the Open Bible churches because Open Bible has been so helpful in this city in supporting orphanages, rehabilitation centers, and the people of Tijuana. I just want to say thank you to Open Bible. I know it's a worldwide ministry, but thank you to them coming and helping Puente de Amistad here in Tijuana.
Hello, good morning, Open Bible churches. My name is Armando Cruz, and I'm here with Puente de Amistad. Well, one thing I like about, well, a few things that I like about you guys coming down to Tijuana, Mexico is the way you guys come with the spirit and the love and the willingness to come and serve the people of Tijuana and your generosity. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you for serving Tijuana!
We absolutely adore and love our staff. You know, we tell people all the time, you know, we're the face of Puente, but they're the heart of Puente. They've been doing this so much longer than what we have. They're the ones that help us lead the teams. They're the ones that have the stories and take us to the ministries, and they're our translators. They are our family. A lot of times they are older than us, a lot older than us, and so sometimes when we're agitating each other, Fernie and Armando will remind me, hey, I'm old enough to be your father, you know. And it's just funny. It's like, yeah, I know. But hey, knock that off. But they are just great. We love each other. We go over for each other's birthdays, and we give each other gifts. And it's just like having your own family in Mexico. So although we do miss our family back in Iowa, and we love our families, they have helped fill that void in our life.
Also, I believe Pastor Harris mentioned it, in 2019 we became the directors, but we had originally gone down with some really good friends of ours, and we were ministering together. So they returned in 2019, and we'd been a little lonely, so we'd been praying, of course, for more help and more volunteers to help us in what we're doing. Because 7 days a week for short-term teams, that's kind of a heavy load. But anyways, so this year the Lord was so good to us. He gave us 4 full-time volunteers through the bulk of our summer, and it was amazing. Off to the left, you have Michaela and Justice Morgan. They're a young couple in their 20s from Spokane, Washington. Up in the right-hand corner, we have Kenneth Finley, who is a rancher out of Oklahoma. And then in the bottom right corner, we have our good friend, Crystal Fellows, from here in Ottumwa, Iowa, real close. She's a teacher, and she has come down the last 2 summers to help us, and we're really glad she's coming next summer as well.
Just to share, you know, your guys' new theme is living the good life. These people have come from a good life, but they come every summer. They've come the last 2 summers. They're going to be going on their 3rd, and they just come to serve. Crystal is a school teacher. You know, that's supposed to be her summer break of just relaxing, you know, people who have kids, you know how it is. Sometimes you just need a little break from those kids. But she comes down and she spends more time with kids, and it's awesome. Ken is a rancher, as Heather said, and so he's stopping one hard job to come down and help us build homes. And so I just share that with you because God's not done with you. Any stage that you are in life, young, older, doesn't matter. God's not done with you until you're in the hole, right? He has a plan for you, and he wants you to work it out right now. It isn't our job just to sit down and just warm a pew. We're supposed to be doing what God has called us to do, if that's in our city, if it's in our nation, or if it's in another country. God has called us to be doing something. And so I'm so proud of these people, and I'm so thankful that they would come to Mexico and spend their time with us. So if any of you talk to me for any amount of time, you're going to figure out real fast, my favorite part of working at Puente de Amistad is building homes for families. Building homes in Tijuana are by far the best thing that we do for a long-term generation-changing effect. We can feed the homeless, and that's awesome, and we can go and visit ministries, but something that lasts far into the future is building a home for a family. And for me, that starts months before the team ever arrives. You can go to the next screen. We have teams that come from all over the United States. Since 2016, we have helped facilitate 85 different churches or different teams coming throughout the years to build for 85 different families. Those are 85 homes that have been built in 6 years. That's amazing. That is a miracle, and we are so thankful to God for that. Amen. Amen. So for Marcielle and I, this starts far before the team ever comes. People ask us, you know, how do you pick the families you're going to build for? Well, we have 5 local pastors that we work with, and they give us suggestions of families within their church that are helping within the church that really need help. And so we'll go and we'll visit those families, and we'll go back to the base, and we'll sit down, we'll pray about it, and we'll look at the needs, and we'll find out who actually has, they all have needs. Every one of these families is in need of a home. But we have to determine, based upon how many churches are going to build for that year, who's going to receive a home. And unfortunately, that's the hard part of my job, is trying to shuffle through all the applications, because as I said, each family, they're in need of one. And so you're trying to find who's in the greatest need this year and who could potentially wait until next year to have a home. Every time we go and visit a family, there's one thing that I love hearing, and you hear it more often than not, is after you're done visiting them and finding out about their family, finding out about their situation, they'll say something to the effect when you're leaving, hey, I appreciate you coming and visiting our family. But if you find a family who's in more need than us, please build them a house first. And that just does something to my spirit. Number one, it tells me, hey, you understand that there's others out there who are in greater need than you. You know, sometimes in the nation that we live in, we can become consumers. And we can only be thinking selfishly about ourselves. And we forget that the Lord is in control, you know. And the Lord has put us in this nation for one reason, to bless us so that we can bless others. Amen? Amen? So when I hear that comment, it does something to my spirit. It's like, you get it, number one. Number two is, I want to help you. You have that spirit, and I want to help you. And so I'm always looking for groups to do that. This is one of the houses that we built this year, 2022. The reason I have this in here is because I love to revisit the families we've built for and see what they have done to the home that we have given them. Because it's not a handout, it's a hand up. So when we first built this house, it was a pretty steep grade. There was no retaining wall. There was no stairs. And this was just 2 months later when we went back. They went and added this. And I love that. Sometimes you'll go back and you'll see bathrooms added on, kitchens added on. You'll see them tile the floor or add more drywall or do stuff like this. And that shows me that they care and they're proud of what the churches have blessed them with. One of the families that we heard the comment from, if you find somebody else that needs a home more than us, is Jose and Adela Gonzalez. And I just want to share a little bit about their family. We built them a home in 2021. In January 2021 is when I met them for the first time. Marcielle and I went and visited them, instantly fell in love with them, and we were planning to partner Sunshine Open Bible with them a few months later. About 4 weeks before the team was to arrive to build this family a home, Marcielle received a call from their pastor, Pastor Arturo. And Pastor Arturo said that something had happened with the family and he needed to tell us about it. Jose was outside of his home. He owned a body shop right outside of his house. That's where he worked on cars. He was out there with a customer and a car pulled up. Two guys were in it and they said, hey, we have a job that we want you to do. Is there any way you can come look at it? He goes, yeah, I will, but I don't have time right now. And they said, no, we need you to come right now to come look at this job. And he said, I can right now. I have a customer with me. We're discussing that job. I'll come tomorrow. Obviously, that wasn't good enough for them. They pulled out a gun and they shot him 3 times right there, killing him. 4 weeks before the team was supposed to come. Now, obviously, I was shocked. Marcial's translating this to me. I'm sitting there in bewilderment, not understanding, you know, what are all the ramifications of this. And then Pastor Arturo asked the question, are you still going to build them a house? Which is something I had not gotten even to thinking about yet. And so I had to tell him, you know what, I need more information. I need to understand why this took place. Is it safe? Is it safe for a team to go in this neighborhood? Is it dangerous? So the pastor said, I'll call you back tomorrow and let you know the entire situation. So the next day, Pastor Arturo called us back. He said, this is what happened. The gentleman who came and they shot him, they were looking for a Gonzalez, but they found the wrong one. They were looking for his brother, and they had shot the wrong brother. See, his brother was in with the cartel. The brother was in with drugs, but he wasn't. He was living a clean life, and so they shot the wrong brother. After calling Pastor Aaron, who is pastor of Sunshine Open Bible, and explained the situation, still I didn't know how he was going to respond to this. And after that, they said, you know what? More than ever does Adela need a home for her family. Because Jose was the breadwinner for the family. She had no job. At this point, she needed a house more than ever. Although this is an extreme story, and hearing her testimony does move us, you know, we don't hear these stories all the time, but we hear testimonies like this, stories like this a lot, and to the families that we're building these homes for. In this situation, it was a small glimmer of hope for something good in a time of something very bad in her life. And God knew that this tragedy was going to take place, and he also knew that Puente de Amistad and Sunshine Open Bible was going to be there in a great time of need for Adela. We went back and visited Adela a few months later, beginning of this year, and we just wanted to talk to her. You know, some families, you know, you just have a bond with. You know, you go back and you visit them on a regular basis, and her family is one of them. She shared with us, right when this accident happened, the church, the local church, got together, and they committed to helping her at $100 a week to help support her family for 1 year. They were going to help. Now, for those of you who know anything about Mexico, you know, most people only make about $35 a day. That's not much. And so for a church to bite off a $100 commitment a week, that's a huge undertaking, and that's a miracle of God that they're able to do that. So praise God for that. The other cool thing, praise God. The other cool thing was Adela's family and Josue's families were not Christ followers before this accident happened. But as they were watching the local church, as they were watching Punta de Amistad, and they were watching Sunshine Open Bible come, who did not know her from anybody, saw how they reacted in this situation. It brought them to the church. It brought got Pastor Arturo into that family's life, and now they're following Christ. They're going to church on a regular basis, and they contribute finding Jesus through Jose and the way that he lived his life, and through the churches and the local church. So praise God for that.
You know, and we came wanting to share all these testimonies with you and how perfectly it does dovetail with the next series that Pastor Harris is going to be doing. I cannot stress enough, like, as missionaries, that the reason that we're sharing these stories is that they are powerful in the sacrifice that is given. Sacrificial giving is what propels the kingdom forward in miraculous ways. And that's why we want to share these stories with you, because we're living in a culture in Tijuana, in Mexico, where people don't have very much, but their sacrifice is propelling the gospel forward, and it's bringing people to Christ because there's no substitute. Like, sacrificial giving is messy and it hurts, but that's what makes people wake up and say, wow, why on earth would they do such a thing?
And that leads you right into the other two cool miracles that happened. After Jose died, Adela didn't have the money for the burial arrangements and for the funeral. And so she was saying, God, what am I going to do? As the weeks went on, the days went on, the months went on, people that she had did know, some people that she didn't know, would come up to her and just give her money. And she says with the money that people gave, it was enough to pay for this, the burial plot, and also for the funeral arrangements. And she contributes that all as a miracle of God. Praise God. Another cool miracle, and this is my favorite one to share. Her daughter came home from school, and she said that she needed 1,000 pesos for the next day to be able to buy school books. Now, you need to understand, 1,000 pesos is about $50, American dollars, 50. Which to us is, that's no big deal, right? We just open our wallet, get that out, here you go, be on with our life. But she didn't have it. And so to her, 1,000 pesos could have been 10,000 pesos. It didn't matter. She didn't have it. So she had to tell her daughter, listen, you know we don't have that money, but God also knows that we don't have that money. So let's pray to him, and let's have him figure this out for us. So she said that they got down on their knees, actively praying for this situation, and she heard a knock at the door. When she opened the door, here's a man she's never met before. And he said, your husband did some body work on my car years ago, and I just found out about what happened, and I just wanted to tell you, I'm sorry, and I just want to give you this. And he said, I know this isn't going to take away the pain, but I hope it helps in some way. She shut the door, and she opened up the envelope, and it was the exact 1,000 pesos that they were praying for. Praise God. Praise God. You know, we can be the avenue that God uses to bless others. If we're just open to his word in our heart. But we have to be attentive to that. That's still a small whisper. We need to be attentive to it. You can go to the next picture.
So how do we partner the short-term mission teams with ministries in Tijuana? So we take the missions teams and we visit orphanages. In Tijuana, we call them Casa Hogars, our favorite type of orphanage to partner with. Now, a Casa Hogar is on a smaller scale. They're trying to keep a family atmosphere in the house, so usually there's less than 25 kids in the house. The Casa Hogares that we work with are the Refuge, Casa Hogar Infantil, Casa Hogar Zion, and Casa Hogar Refugio. Next slide. We also go to men's and women's rehabilitation centers sharing the gospel. And I do have to tell you this testimony from this year because it's unique and different, and we were just glad to be able to see it. So a lot of times with the short-term mission teams, we act and work as facilitators. When they say, hey, we want to come minister in Tijuana, we want it to be a ministry team, what do you think we should do? We toss it right back at them and say, what is God telling you to do in this city when you come? And so a lady on a team in the spring, she really wanted to teach the Freedom course that's so popular right now. And they went and they ordered the Freedom course in Spanish, but she knew she had 2 hours to teach it in the women's rehab, and that was it. With a translator, I mean, that's about 1 hour of teaching because it's all got to be said again in Spanish. But she came and she taught the Freedom course, and there was such a wonderful response at the women's rehab. There were several salvations and baptisms. And then the very week following that, a girl came from our home church, and she had given her personal testimony. She had grown up as a church kid, right? Her dad was an elder, and she had been living in secret sin, and she gave her testimony even though the whole church had no idea what she'd been dealing with and how God had brought her out of that, but she was obedient. And wow. When nobody knows what you've been dealing with and God tells you to give your testimony and then you're telling everybody you know and everybody you don't know, that's a lot of pressure. But she gave her testimony and some people came to Christ that day too. But you know, as the summer went on and our teams came, girls were giving their lives to Christ all summer long and they were referring back to those two incidences. And so I just think it's incredible what your obedience can birth, I guess, what your obedience can birth, and it was so cool to see that. We also take our teams and we do street ministry. Street ministry in Tijuana in particular is a unique opportunity. There are a lot of homeless because there are a lot of deported. They say that the statistics are if you are deported within 6 months, if you have no family to support you after deportation, you'll end up a user and you'll end up in the streets. There's nowhere to go. You have no ID. You can't get a job. You have to contact somebody and hope to goodness that they didn't lose your paperwork in all of your travels and immigration, in order to get those important pieces of paperwork back to be able to have a functional life again. So we go out, we have the team share the word, and we give them some food.
One of our pet projects for the last couple years has been Pastor Abelino and Mireya Feeding Kitchen. Does anybody know Spanish in here? A little bit. Do you understand what Mireya translates into English? It translates into my queen. For you husbands out there, how would you like your wife's name to be my queen? Every time you address her, my queen, my queen. I mean, this pastor is a saint. He's actually one of the most humble men I have ever met in my life. The first time I met him was in 2019. Marcielle, the head of construction, wanted to introduce him to me. So I said, okay, we'll go. So we go there and walk up to the guy, introduce myself, he introduces himself, and he just kind of like stands there. I'm like, well, this is awkward. And I said, well, tell me a little bit. Tell me about your church. Tell me about your dreams, you know. It's like, there was a reason that Marcel wanted to introduce you to me. What is it? And so as he started sharing just his passion for his church, the ladies in the church every week would get together and they would make tamales and they would go out in the community and they would sell them. And all the proceeds would go to help buy a piece of property that was right across the street that they wanted to put a feeding kitchen on. And when I heard that, I knew I wanted to partner with him. Because the ladies had a drive, the church had a drive to do something. And I loved it because the entire time that he was telling about this, never once did he say, hey, could you help me do this? Is there any way you have money that could go toward this? He only shared his heart and what God had placed in his heart, and he was going after it. He didn't need somebody to partner with him. He was going to do it because God told him to do it. And so after that, I just fell in love with him. I knew that I wanted to do something. And so in 2020, we were planning on having a church, actually our home church, where he's going to come and build a feeding kitchen for him right across from the church. Well, as you guys know, 2020 threw the world into a whirlwind. And so that was put on hold. And during that time, Pastor Abelino actually lost that piece of property. And at that time, I was like, God, we had a plan here, God. What's going on, you know? How many understands that when God shuts the door on something, most likely he's going to open another one that's going to be a better door? Amen? So that's exactly what God did. A few blocks away, there was an empty lot. Actually, it was like a landfill. It was just people would go there, they would dump all their trash and stuff. Well, Pastor Abelino had taken a small section of it, and his whole church went there, and they spent like a couple months cleaning this area, making it flat, and they made it into a soccer field for the neighborhood kids. And so he was making an impact already in the neighborhood. Well, in the way that they do things in Mexico, everything's broken into colonies. And each colony kind of has its own elders over that colony. So one day he decided to go and visit the colony elders, and they were having a business meeting. And he said, hey, I'd like to speak to you guys. And so they said, okay. And he goes, this area here, we made it into a soccer field. And what I would like is, I'd like you to give that to us, to the church. And they're like, wait. You want to buy it from us? He goes, no. I want you to give it to me. I've been praying about this, and I want you to give it to me and he told him his plan. I want to have a feeding kitchen. I want to be able to reach the community. I want to be able to reach the kids of the neighborhood. And so they said, okay, get out of the meeting. So he was outside of the meeting. He stood there about 10 minutes. They came back out and said, okay, we're going to give it to you. And that was a miracle. So in 2021, the Move guys came and they actually built the first story of the feeding kitchen. And it's about twice the size that we were going to build in 2020. Praise God. It's about 24 by 35. And so they came in the month of May. And a few months later, we had another team that came and they added the second story onto it. Upstairs is where they have their men and women's Bible studies. They also have single mothers who need help. They have a class where they can come and kind of learn, you know, how to be mothers, how to do a good job raising your kids alone. They also have a kids program that meets on Saturdays and also throughout the rest of the week, but their main service is on Saturdays, and they'll have 75 to 100 kids come every Saturday to hear the Word of God. Pretty cool. This year we had a team come. Another dream that they had was to build a men and women's restroom out there, because there's a lot of homeless out there. A lot of people who don't have running water and that kind of stuff at their house. So their dream was to have something there. So we went and built the structure there. We had a youth group come and do that. That was a lot of fun. Kids wheeling around hammers. My word, it's crazy. But they did a great job. And then at the end of this year, we had a team come from Clear Lake. And then they came in on a Thursday night. This is a miracle. I still can't believe they did it. Came in on a Thursday night. They, all day Friday, they worked. They finished up 2 hours in the morning on Saturday, and they flew out Saturday night, and they built a 16 by 16 single-story medical center. Why don't you share about your good?
So, Pastor Avelino and Maria, they are wonderful people of God. And there is a story that we would love to share with you today, or I would love to share with you about, again, the power of sacrificial giving. So years ago, Pastor Avelino and Maria, they've been pastoring their church for 25 years, I do believe. A lady in their church came to them and said, my daughter and her husband, they were renting a house, borrowing a house more like, from a family friend. And there had been a lot of spring rains, and it had washed the house away. And so Maria went with the mother to meet Erica, and Erica was just telling her story to Maria, and Maria's heart broke for Erica and her family, for her husband and their two kids. And she said, you know what? I don't know what the Lord's doing in this situation, but you're going to come home with me. You're going to come home with me today. So she brought Erica and her two kids home to their house. And when I say home to their house, we're talking about a 600 square foot house, okay? That's the size of the house. It has two very tiny bedrooms and a loft. And so the pastor and his wife gave up their bedroom for Erica and her daughters. And Erica was so impacted by this sacrificial giving that she gave her life to Christ that very night. Now her husband, Leandro, he didn't really want anything to do with this Pentecostal pastor and his wife. So he decided to stay in the house that had basically collapsed. And he stayed there for 4 days until the homeowner came in and said, this isn't safe. You can't stay here. And so he went to stay with his wife and his children at Pastor Avelino's house. And later he admitted that he didn't he didn't want to go. He was ashamed to go because he didn't have the money. He didn't have a job to be able to support his family.
You know, when my wife says that he gave up his room, she literally means there's only two rooms. There's the kitchen, kind of living room area, and then there's two bedrooms. And they were living in the one, and their kids were living in the other one, sleeping in the other one. And so when she says he gave up his room, he literally gave up his 10 by 10 room, and he moved up into that loft area. Now, what you have to understand is that loft area is about 30 inches. So once you slide a mattress in there, now you have about 12 inches. So when you sit up in the middle of the night, he said he would sit up and he'd forget that he's upstairs and he'd hit himself on the roof or the ceiling of that area. And so this was a sacrifice. The picture to the right is the actual loft that they kind of put some bars up there so that you couldn't really see in there. But that's where they stayed for the 2 years that Erica and her husband lived with him in their house.
Also, you got to understand, Abilino and Maria, they have four kids, and then they just added four more people. So they had, what is that? That's 10 people in a 600 square foot house. It's incredible. But anyways, so Leandro went to stay with them, and they said that for the first 4 months that he lived at the pastor's house, he would not take any meals with the family. He didn't want to speak with Pastor Abilino and Maria. He was a good Catholic boy. He didn't want anything to do with this Pentecostal family. But Pastor and Maria, they were loving him like Jesus, and they never pushed Jesus onto him once. They were just loving him like Christ loved the church. So after 4 months, Leandro finally gave his heart to the Lord. And now Erica and Leandro, they lived with Pastor and his wife for over 2 years. During this time, Maria and Erica actually encountered another family in great need. So one day when Pastor Avelino was at work, they hurried to the back, and with whatever materials they could, they built another bedroom off the back of the house, and they covered it with clear plastic. So Pastor said whenever he looked up, he could see all the stars in the sky, and it was pretty cool while the roof was plastic, but he was glad when they put a real roof back there. So finally, you know, Pastor's like, I think you guys have been here long enough. You're well grounded in Christ. I think it's time for you to look for a property of your own. So they did look for a property of their own. About 7 years later, the Lord blessed them with a home of their own. Another ministry came and built them a house on that property. However, in 2017, tragedy struck Leandro and Erica's family again. It was night and it was dark out and the dogs started going crazy. And so Leandro went outside to check on the dogs, where he was met with a man and a gun who shot him, and the bullet ricocheted off his jaw, went through his throat and into his collarbone. Now this is Mexico, the medical care isn't always the best. And so they rushed him to the hospital, and he was in ICU for a week, and they said he's never gonna be able to talk again. And he's going to be breathing out of this tube the rest of his life. It had damaged all of his vocal cords, his esophagus, and he was intubated. And so they said, you know, you don't have any money. He's been here a week. Get out. And they released him. Now, Pastor Avelino and Maria, they said, obviously, you can't take care of your family right now. We want you to move back in with us so that we can help take care of Leandro, because that tube needed to be cleaned and changed every single day. So Maria and Erica took over managing his health, and they called the church to pray for a miracle in his healing, because they had said, you're going to be with that tube the rest of your life. You're never going to be able to work again. And the church started praying. You know, after 8 months, God miraculously healed Leandro. They were able to take, yes, yes. They were able to take that tube out, and he went back to work. And I just want to say, you never know what God is doing with your sacrifice in somebody else's life. Pastor Abilino and Maria sacrificed for Erica and Leandro. Leandro is one of Pastor Abilino's right-hand men in the church. He can call him, and Leandro will be there, and he will do anything for him. And when that feeding kitchen got built the way Mexico works, and I'm sure a lot of other countries around the world work this way too, but if the property is not occupied, it's not going to be yours for very long. So Leandro and Erica, they moved into that property. They live in the apartment above. They watch over it, take care of it. He does work a full-time job. He's gone 12 hours a day, and then he's still at the church serving. Erica runs their children's program. It's called ICTHIS. It's popular in Latin America. It's something very similar to Awana's here in the United States, and so they're focusing on Christ's character and community, because in an impoverished country, how else do you change the community by empowering the children that they are the change that we want to see? Last story about Erica. Erica and Leandro are living at the feeding kitchen, and here comes a mother with two children from southern Mexico. Her family had known of Pastor Avelino and his family, and they had just sent her to get her away from her abusive situation. They just sent her. Pastor Avelino and Erica, Maria, nobody knew she was coming. She just showed up with nothing but her kids and was like, hey, help me. Now, Erica was telling us this story, and she started crying because she really felt like the Lord was telling her to give up her place in the second floor of the feeding kitchen so that the mother and her kids could have this nicer place to live in. She started crying, and, I didn't really think anything of it, but I didn't know she had volunteered to live in that shack right there so that the mother and her kids could have a nicer, safer place to live. And she just said, you know, it's my turn to give back. The Lord told me that I was supposed to help her, but she was crying because she didn't want to help her, okay? Am I the only person? Like, we're driving down the road and there's somebody with a flat tire, and I'm always like, goodness, I do not want to help them. And my husband's always like, we should help them. I mean, it's sacrificial. She was crying at the ugliness of her own heart. And I'll be the first one here to say, my heart is ugly sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to sacrifice. Sometimes I don't want to give. But it's what God has called us to, because he set the perfect example in giving for us.
You know, when Heather and I heard this story, and when I realized where she was living, I realized, because we have to drive by that to get to the feeding kitchen. It's right to the right. When you're looking at the picture, it's to the right. So I knew the condition of the home. And when she told me, that's where I'm staying. This is what I did. It's just like, who does that? Somebody better than me, that's for sure. Because I'm not going to give up my house. I mean, I'll pray for you, sure. A lot of times we say that, don't we? Well, we'll pray for you, but do we actually do anything? You know, and Erica, she did something. And so it's like she could tell. It's like, okay, my brain's already thinking, what can I do? What can I do? And I remember her saying to me, you don't need to do anything. This is my time to give back. And that spoke so much to me. Like, it was an arrow to my heart for where my heart was at. You know, when I have something nice, I want to hold on to it. You know, there's so many times that, you know, I'm proud of the things that I have. I work hard for my new tools that I have when we're building the Puente houses. And then we go and we're working alongside the locals, and they're using this old hammer that's been welded together 15 times and a tape measure that I threw away 3 years ago. And they're happy with what they have. And it's like, I hold on to those things. And I want the Lord to use me in those situations where I can give myself away. You know? And Erica, she exemplifies that. She shows through her life. And Pastor and Maria, they show through their life that they don't just talk the talk. They walk the walk. And I want to be more like that. We need to be more like that. Living in a culture, and I think it's timely, what Pastor is going to be talking about. You know, we are blessed to be in the United States of America. But what are we doing with it? Are we just keeping it for ourselves? Are we hoarding it? Or are we giving it away? Because just because we live in Mexico doesn't mean that we're blessed. We are so blessed. And I want to be used by the Lord to bless others. Amen. Last but not least, circling back to what we were saying, we just want to say thank you to all of you for supporting us, for supporting our family. You're the, you have every right to be proud of everything that we just shared about, because you helped us be on the field. You helped us be able to stay in Mexico and helped us be a part of these ministries.
Those 85 houses are yours too. They are your blessing in heaven. I mean, that wasn't just us. That wasn't just the teams. It's the Lord and what he has done through everybody who has supported and made this possible.
It takes a village, right? It takes a village to raise children, and it takes a village to be able to see the gospel go out. It takes the body of Christ to see the gospel go out. And so we want to thank you for being a part of that. I also wanted to share with you guys on our back table, we have prayer cards, two different kinds of prayer cards, long ones, skinny ones. And we also have some magnets back there. My wife and I, we did not spend our money on these to sit on our table. We bought them so that they will go home with you. So please do not feel afraid to take two or three of them. We've had a couple people ask, hey, can we take one of these? Yes, please, take two or three. Hand them to your friends because we want your prayers. That's the point of the prayer card, is when you see it, be praying for us. Because more importantly than anything else is prayer. Because the devil is always after us. He knows the good things that are happening all over the world, furthering the kingdom of God. And praying for your missionaries is the number one thing that we need. So thank you for those of you who do. And I look forward to partnering with you guys into the future. I'm going to hand it back over to Pastor. Thank you.
That was awesome, huh? Amen. Just a couple things before we go. Worship team, you can come back up if you'd like. I took some quotes down of some things that they said this morning. I just want to encourage you, church, it's usually the last Sunday of every month we give to missions, and every month we have a specific missions need all over the world that we are a part of. Open Bible, not Open Bible. It's whatever our missions team has been praying about and they feel that God has led them in. And then, so that would have been last week, but we knew they were coming today. So everything you gave last month is going toward their missions work and what they're doing in Mexico. Tijuana, that's how the Caucasians say it, right? Tijuana, Mexico, right? That sounds, he says it way cooler. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Moving on. But if you want to give to this missions work, if you want to give online, you can scroll down. It says missions. There's an envelope in front of you. You can write on there missions. We're going to give another opportunity to bless them and what they're doing. I love some of the things you said. Miss Heather, you said, sacrificial giving propels the kingdom of God in miraculous ways. Come on now, right? You're just flowing in the Holy Ghost. You're like, come on, come on. That was God. Amen. Travis, I got two for you. You said, we can be the exact avenue that God uses. And you said, let the Lord use you as you give your life away. Amen. And then I wrote down queen. I'm going to try that later to my wife, right? You got to teach me later how to say that. Mi amor. Yeah, Espanol un poquito. One thing I do know, and we love that here, and we're going to do a quick Spanish lesson before we pray, and I'm going to ask John and Shirley Helmuth, who are our local missionaries here at our church, that we love and we send off, the prophet of God and missionaries that go to the world. But I want to teach you a quick Spanish thing I learned in El Salvador. Espíritu Santo Fuego. Y'all know that is. Holy Spirit, fire. Come on now. Espíritu, okay? You want to say it with me? Espíritu? Wow, that sounds very un-Spanish. Espíritu? Espíritu Santo Fuego. Espíritu Santo Fuego, right? And then lay hands on somebody right next to you and say, Espíritu Santo Fuego. Do it right now. Holy Spirit, fire. Amen. Come on now. Praise God. Church, will you stand? John and Shirley, will you please come? We have an opportunity to sacrificially give before you go today. Okay? We're going to lay hands on them. I want you just to extend your hands before we worship when we go. Just, we're going to pray over their ministry. He's going to anoint them, and then I'm going to hold the mic. I want you to pray over them as I stand behind them. We're so thankful for them. They've given their life, right? Jesus loved them so much, and they said, God, I love you. What are you calling me to do? And they not only left, right? It wasn't just Travis, and it wasn't just Heather that did it. It's also their children. They're going into places that are dangerous, dark, and exactly where God is calling them. And we're going to pray that the Spirit of God is going to lead them in all things, protect them. Angels will surround them, and everywhere that they go, there'll be abundance of salvations and freedom and just amazing things. But we are in America, and we are blessed financially. Even if you are poor, you are blessed financially according to the world. And so we want to bless them as we go. Let's pray together, church.
The Lord says, son and daughter, I've seen you give and give, but you've not been alone because I've called a whole army to stand behind you. And I will continue to call that army forth, that all of the needs that you see that I direct you to will be taken care of, because my army will bring the provision, says the Lord. Father, we just ask for a special release of your Holy Spirit upon my brother and sister and their children, Lord. And as they are out there working, Lord, they'll never forget that this is your work, Lord, and that you have directed them to be a part of what we would call a greater work than what you have done, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, just touch their hearts and touch your minds and continue to release them so they can give it all, because it's so easy to take it back. And Lord, that new doors will open this year. In this coming year, Lord, many, many souls will be turned from bondage to freedom, from no hope to hope. And Lord, that they get to spend the time that they have here on this earth with you, but also eternity with you, Lord. This is the goal that you have called us to, Lord, is to seek and to save those who are lost. So, Father, let that be primary in our desires and in our work and everything that we do, whether we're building a house or speaking or teaching, whatever we do, Lord. And so we just ask for a double portion of your anointing to rest upon my brother, upon my sister, on their children. Protect them, keep the angels of guarding angels around them, protecting them, that they don't have to worry, that they're in your hands, that you watch over them. Because you've called them, you also will provide. So Father, we just ask for your blessing now, double portion of your blessing also to be upon them, upon their home, upon their material things, on everything that you've called them to do in this ministry, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
We need to stir up the gifts. That God wants to start using you in a greater way in the gifts. That you would begin to prophesy. That you would begin to prophesy to the need as you find it. But I think that's been a desire that you both have had. Is it, God, I don't know how to begin to step out in the gifts, but I really believe God wants us to pray for you for that.
Lord, we just ask for a release right now of your Holy Spirit, the gifts, all nine gifts, Lord, and many more other gifts, Father, will just come forth in their life. There will be a new freedom as they begin to open their mouths, Lord, and they prophesy, they speak life, they give words of wisdom, whatever, Lord, that these will just come alive in their spirit. And kingdom will be furthered because of this. People will have hope because you have spoken to them through your servants here, Lord. So touch them and anoint them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. Church, amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for you before you go. Give you guys some time to go man your tables. Amen. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for a reminder of giving our life away, God, that you can be glorified. I pray for everybody who hears my voice right now. I pray for a blessing, a double portion upon their life. I pray that they be blessed so they can be a blessing. God, I pray that before they lay their head down tonight to go to sleep, there's going to be an opportunity in front of them to bless somebody else and to tell them that Jesus loves them. And God, I pray for a special anointing to see a discernment, God. Give them discernment in what to do, what to say, and how to help. But God, may none of us lay our head down tonight before we bless and help someone else. God, we are so privileged to know you, not only to know you, but that we're saved. Not only that we're saved, but we're blessed. Not only are we blessed, but God, we live in America. We are in a blessed country. And God, we pray that you will open our eyes, our spiritual eyes to see, and open our spiritual hands to give. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Love you, church.